Okay, so we're going to move on now and talk about the pig. And our old friend Anna Haw of Myrtle Restaurant in London is on the line. Good afternoon, Anna.
Hi, Brendan. How's it going?
Good. I thought you'd be too good now for giving me cooking lessons now that you're a judge on MasterChef The Professionals.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, yes, I'm so above it all now.
So listen, the pig. I suppose pork and bacon really are, they're kind of the national meat in Ireland, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And I think the pig should always be celebrated. It always surprises me how very often it's, you know, third on the list for the roast dinner. I think it's a glorious animal that gives us all different types of cuts of meat that we, you know, we use some of them, but we don't use all of the pig enough, I think.
Yeah, I'm not surprised it's third on the list. I think that a roast pork, like, is for me the driest and most tasteless of the kind of carvery slash Sunday lunch, Sunday roast options.
I think it's all about the hands that are roasting the meat that results in it being dry like
that. Okay, so it's my fault, right.
Also, it's like sometimes if you have a bad experience, you don't go back to it. But I would recommend giving roast pork a go. And it doesn't have to be the loin. It could be the fillet, which is like, it is a smaller than the beef fillet, but there is a fillet. And there's also the pork belly. You know, if you roast a pork belly really, really, really slowly, it's a glorious cut of meat to have for a Sunday roast.
Yeah, glorious when cooked by someone else, I tend to find. I never get quite the same results as they seem to get, chefs seem to get, which is these melty, sweet, sticky kind of affairs.
Yeah, well, I think it's all about giving it a go. You know, you only know how to do something after you've made it wrong three or four times. Then you fully understand it. So I think it's wonderful that our ancestors would have really celebrated the pork as well. It would have been our main, you know, celebratory meat back in the day. It would have been the most affordable for us. And I just think it's a shame that we don't kind of use more of the other cuts apart from, you know, sausages, rashers and a few chops. I think, you know, the collar of pig's collar is delicious. Like, oh my God, it's so amazing.
And would you have to cook that for like 12 hours kind of thing?
Say that again.
Would you have to cook the pig's collar for about 12 hours, I'm guessing?
Well, it's a long L cook. It's about 3 or 4 hours. But what you get at the end of it is just glorious. It's really delicious. It's really tender. It's got the kind of a real richness of flavor because of the marbling that is through the kind of the kind of meat, because it's so worked, it's so active. But it's just a cut of meat that people would never think to buy. And I use the collar of nearly any animal I can get my hands on, because I always think it's so delicious.
Okay, now. I think we would all agree, though, that we still all love a bit of the old bogoon and cabbage. You do a bogoon and cabbage for the posh people in London, in Myrtle, don't you? Is it a very refined version? You're not just slopping them up hairy bacon out of the grey water, I'm assuming.
I kind of find the hair ruins the dish. No, we do, yeah. It's a little bit neater in appearance than perhaps traditionally it would be, but... I wrap the bacon in cabbage and serve it with cabbage and a few little carrots. So it's still the heartbeat of what bacon and cabbage is, but just looks a bit different. But I would recommend anybody who's never made bacon and cabbage, you should definitely give it a go, because it's just a dish that has... I think it's our national dish. No matter what people say about the Irish stew, bacon and cabbage has to be the most cooked dish, I think, in Irish households. But if you've never cooked it, it's a double bubble dish. So the liquid that you cook your bacon in, you also cook your cabbage in afterwards. But it leaves you with a lovely broth, you know, like, so it's a great dish. It's a dish that, you know, keeps on giving.
Okay, and you've given us a recipe and some tips for that, and we put them up on the website. We don't need to go through them now. Another interesting notion you have is that we should use black pudding more as well. That, like, we're all gone mad on chorizo, but that our own black pudding is just as good.
Listen, I really, you know, when it comes to meat, I think we focus too much on specific cuts of meat. And as a result, we have a load of waste of ingredients. And one of those things is blood, which sounds not interesting and not, you know, something doesn't matter, we waste it. It really matters that we waste it. So by using black pudding, that is a place for this kind of byproduct to go, which has iron. There is nutrition in it. And because it's got so much flavor, it's a wonderful alternative to chorizo. So it's lovely on a pizza. It's great in a pasta dish. It's wonderful in a toasty sandwich. As in, whatever okay. you would think of using chorizo for, black pudding is a great replacement. And I think that is what sustainable kind of cooking is all about. It's using all of the animal, not just the prime cuts.
You're against a rasher sandwich, I believe. I wanted you to tell us how to make the perfect rasher sandwich and you objected.
What I said was, yeah, everybody knows how to do a rasher sandwich. Rasher sandwiches are great, but you shouldn't be eating more than one of them a week. You got to go easy on the rashers, lads. It's not great for you. And same with the black pudding. I'm not saying eat black pudding morning, okay. noon and night. You know, everything in moderation. I would say using pork mince is a great, affordable, lean, healthy protein to get into your dinner. And you could just replace whatever you normally use beef mince for, use pork mince for. And
Or you could mix it up like for bolognese. You could go half.
Bolognese. It's a good ingredient.
But you could go half pork as well and half beef, couldn't you?
Exactly. You totally could. I also have another recipe, which is really simple. These kind of spicy pork meatballs in a coconut sauce, which is a nice kind of easy midweek meal to make, that you just kind of throw it all in a pot and boil it. And it sounds dreadful, but it actually tastes magic.
Okay.
So,
We'll put that up as well. In terms of your keenness to use all the various bits of the pig, you boil the head, I gather, do you?
Listen, if I can convince one person to go to their butcher and get a half head, because one head is probably too much for you, but a half head of a pig and boil it up and make your own pig's brawn, I mean, my day will be made. It is so delicious. It's so tender, yet it's got a high fat content. So you want to throw away probably about 2/3 of the fat from the pig's head. But there's just so much meat and there's so much flavor in the cheeks of it. And don't overthink what's in the head. Just, you know, get on with it and eat it. Because, again, all of these animals are, when they are slaughtered, so that we can have our fillet steaks and so we can have our mince, where do the heads go? They get thrown in some sort of landfill, or they get thrown away. Some might get into dog food, but, you know, they're not all used. And, you know, sustainable cooking, sustainable buying of food is about making sure that we're using the whole of the animal.
Okay, Anna Hall, I'm going to let you go now because I am puking in my mouth here at the thought of boiling up the pig's head. Anna Hall, thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you now. Bye-bye. Bye.